If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalm tonight. I won't be long, I don't believe, anyway. But I want to share a thought with you tonight that kind of goes along hand in hand with what we preached on Sunday morning out of 2 Kings chapter number 5. But it's kind of a totally different direction, a totally different message. But in Psalm chapter 4, verse number 4, the Word of God said, stand in awe. What's the next three words say? Okay, what we're going to look at tonight is a man that failed to stand in awe, right in the same story that we were preaching on Sunday morning. And before I forget it, I want to thank you. The offering for Brother Coulter was just outstanding on Sunday night. It was just a wonderful, wonderful offering. And he just don't know how to act. And I told him, I said, Brother Colt, when you walk with God by faith, he'll meet the needs. Amen. And I said, one of the things you're going to need is a dependable vehicle. He said, well, I bought me one. He said, and it's broke down. Amen. So, amen. I'll tell you something right now. You don't believe that the things of this world will present you with trials. You step out for God, and you step out for the Lord, but there'll be trials. Seemed like everything that tore up at the house when I was on the road with Rock of Ages always waited till I was about 4 hours from home, headed about 10 to 11 hours from home. My phone would ring. Miss C would say, there's water bubbling up in the front yard. You know what she did while I was gone? She went down there and turned the meter on, washed clothes, took a shower, and went down there and turned the meter off. And I fixed it when I got home. Amen. The water was broke down there at the meter. Good to have a good woman, ain't it? Amen. A lot of women would be complaining or calling the plumber and spending about $2,000. But I told her to have it dug up when I got back, and I'd fix it. Y'all know I'm kidding, don't you say? Sister Denita didn't know if I was kidding or not. One time the hot water heater went out, so it's always something. Amen. But thank God we're headed home, youngins. When we get home, ain't nothing else going to tear up. Amen. But until then. The Bible said, stand in awe, sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still, Selah. Let's pray, and we'll turn back over to 2 Kings chapter number 5. Father, thank you tonight for the sweet Holy Spirit. Lord, Brother Steve talked a while ago about churches that's given up on prayer meeting, given up on a Sunday night service. Lord, I wouldn't take nothing for what I feel in my heart right now. It just seems like, Lord, there's a special blessing for those, our Lord, that'll gather around the altar and pray. Lord, we're no better than anybody else. God, we just realize how much we need you. And we pray, Father, tonight that you'll just help us in the service. Because, Lord, if you don't help us, then we can't be a help. God, you know our heart tonight. That's our desire, is to be a help to your people. I pray, Lord, you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Steve, I want you sometime or another to tell us a little bit about how it's going at Northeast, okay, brother, and what the Lord's doing up there. I'm so glad to see Brother Steve off of crutches, aren't you? Amen. Be hard to get anybody to volunteer to do the announcements around here after what he and Brother Brian's been through. Amen. But we appreciate them so very much. We really do. Tonight, what I want to start reading in 2 Kings chapter 5, and I won't normally say something like this, but if you weren't here Sunday morning, I really would like for you to listen to what God had to say about Naaman and this story on Sunday morning. I believe it would be a blessing to you. I believe it would be a help to you. And tonight, it's kind of a little bit different, but let's back up in the story. You remember how that Naaman now he's been cleansed of his leprosy. He went down finally, and dipped seven times in the Jordan, and in verse number 14, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, and I missed this for years, like the flesh of a child. Boy, I tell you, he didn't just get rid of the leprosy. There was a restoration took place, amen. And he returned to the man of God, he and all of his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth. I remember texting Brother Brian this morning. He was concerned. A man had come in from Japan and had lied about where he was, where he had been. He had already been to New York City. He was standing in the waiting room down there, and the hazmat team came in and escorted him out of the waiting room. And I said, Brother Brian, I texted him. I said, how many in that waiting room don't know Jesus? They don't even have an ounce of peace in their heart. I was just trying to encourage him to think about the things that he had that money couldn't buy, that the blood of Jesus bought for us, trying to be a help to my dear brother. And he returned to the man of God and all of his company and stood before him and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Now we touched on this Sunday morning, but it's important to back up just a little bit tonight and set the stage for what's about to happen with a man by the name of Gehazi. Gehazi's name means the valley of vision. And there's something clouding his vision in the text tonight, and we're going to look at that. The Bible said, but he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. You remember we tried to teach the church on Sunday morning that the gift of God was not for sale, and that Elisha didn't want Naaman leaving there thinking that his healing could be purchased, but that it was a gift of God and that it was by faith. Reluctantly, he finally went down and dipped seven times in the Jordan River, just like the man of God told him to. And he said here, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Y'all have been through that somewhere in your life. You know, somebody wants to give you something. No, you know, and they just keep on and keep on, you know what I mean? And surely you've been through that somewhere. But he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules burden of earth? And we talked to you about that a little bit. I've read a couple different things, but it was like that when Naaman went back to Syria, he didn't want to be involved with those old dead gods. And he wanted a place maybe to build an altar with some of that earth that had come out of Israel. He said, for thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. Now that makes sense to me. Amen. And then the Bible said in verse 18, in this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow myself down in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. In other words, Naaman knows that those old dead gods, those old idol gods, are still going to be there when he gets back. And he's not going to be able to escape altogether. But in his heart, he knows he's not going to worship any god except the God of heaven, the God of Israel. Now, verse 20 starts with a word. And we've tried to tell you through the years that many times the word is like a hinge on a door. And that in the middle of the story, the Bible says, but there's something now that's going to be completely different. The doors, you're going to be going through and looking at the other side. And that's what the Lord wants us to look at tonight. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian. There's so much I want to say tonight. I don't have a note in front of me. I'm just trusting God to help me to remember what I've studied and to share with you. But one of the things here that I want to bring out tonight, he said, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian and not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But, There it is again. As the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Here's a man that had an attitude like that, you know, the Syrians have caused us all this trouble. He's reasoning in his own heart and in his mind. The least we could do, you know, is take something of this man. Look what he's received. He's received his healing. And the Bible said, so Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? I'm going to go ahead and read the story because I'm wanting to preach as I go through it tonight. And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. Again, I'm wanting to stop, but I'm going to just read it and then come back. And Naaman said, be content. Take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags and two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. And he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? Boy, I'm trying not to preach. But God just reminded me of something else. You remember when the question was asked of Adam? Adam, where art thou? How many knows that God knew exactly where Adam was? Well, in this right here, the man of God is asking Gehazi the question, but we're going to see he already knew, Brother Steve, exactly where he had been and exactly what he had been doing. The Bible said here, but he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. There's a lot of lying going on in this text, isn't there? Amen? Look what the Word of God said. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? Look at verse 27. The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee. Watch this now. And unto thy seed forever. Do y'all remember what we read over in the book of Psalms? Stand in awe and sin not. In this chapter that we've looked at Sunday morning and tonight we're going to be looking, there are some that stood in awe. But there's a man here that sinned. He saw the same thing everybody else saw. And yet, he sinned. It's amazing to me. The Bible said the sun, it rains on the just and the unjust. The sun will come up in the morning. It'll come up on the just and the unjust. The Bible said the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee. And notice this. And unto thy seed forever. I'm trembling tonight to think of the responsibility that I have as a father and a papa. It's not just about me. It's not just about my wife, my seed, my children, my grandchildren. Do you all remember when Achan, it's kind of something here that the Word of God said that it was in his house. He bestowed them in his house. Y'all remember when Achan buried it in his tent? He buried the wedge of gold and the, was it a wedge of silver and the Babylonian garment? Is that right? It's something like that. But it's stuff that he took out of Jericho that he was not supposed to take. They were not supposed to take the spoils. They went down to Ai and they got their butts beat. They got whooped. A bunch of them died. Joshua was before the Lord, and God told Joshua, said, get up. There's sin in the camp. You remember that? We can hide it from each other. We can hide it from each other. A church can hide it from each other, hide it from their family, but we can never hide it from the God that we serve. God had Achan's number. God had Gehazi's number. And the word of God said here, unto thy seed forever. And he went out from the presence, from his presence, a leper as white as snow. I want to start looking tonight back here in verse number 20 and just come down through the text and say a few things. I won't be in front of you long tonight. But I believe what God is wanting to do, we've been preaching a series of messages entitled Stand in Awe and Sin Not. And we've been putting the emphasis on the standing in awe. But tonight, God has given us here a little warning. I didn't say you. I said us. He's given us a little warning. The word of God said here, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, he said, behold, my master has spared Naaman, the Syrian, in not receiving at his hands, but as the Lord liveth, I will run after him. Can I say this tonight? First of all, it's one thing to slip. Have you ever let your tongue slip since you've been saved? Have you ever heard something you didn't have no business listening to since you've been saved? Ever hear somebody tell a joke or something maybe that you should have not listened to it? Say amen. You ever looked at anything you shouldn't have looked at since you've been saved? It's one thing, listen to me carefully, it's one thing to slip. This man's not slipping, he's running after sin. I'm glad I believe if I tried that, I have somebody that loves me enough to say, come here, boy. That ain't the road you're cut out to walk on. Say amen. I don't believe in this, what people would get accused of saying, well, if I believe not once saved, always saved, I believe I'd just go live like hell. No, I don't believe that. The grace of God that brings salvation teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live soberly and righteously in this present world. That's what the Word of God said. But here's a man, I just want you to see in the onset, he's running after. There's a spirit of covetousness here. He's not content with what he has. I want to say this, something, listen, covetousness, the Bible said, which is idolatry. In other words, beloved, listen, we're told as God's people, having food and raiment, therewith let us be content. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it's a trap. And every one of us, beloved, are prone to step in the trap of materialism and step in the trap of covetousness and look over there and see something that somebody else has, or maybe it's something they have in this world. Maybe it's a position they have. But God told us not to covet, to be content with such things as you have. I don't know about you tonight, but I believe with all of my heart the Lord is using the story to warn me tonight. You bloom where you planted, son. Don't you be looking off somewhere else, amen. You do what I want you to do where I want you to do it. And I believe tonight that's important. So Gehazi followed after Naaman in verse 21. And when Naaman saw him running after him, by the way, beloved, I want you to look at the attitude change here. Listen, we tried to establish on Sunday morning that Naaman was a higher up, so to speak, a general, so to speak, traveling in a chariot, so to speak. But this man now has been washed. He's been cleansed, so he don't mind to slow that chariot down and say, is all well? His attitude has changed towards things. And I want you to see some of the lies that are being told down through the story. The Word of God said here, by the way, probably some of the most dangerous lies we tell. You know who we tell them to? ourself. We act like everything's okay. Sometimes knowing everything's not okay. We pray and it becomes a habit or formality instead of getting in touch with heaven. We do it in a hurry a lot of times, amen. We want God to operate on our schedule instead of stealing away. The songwriter said, sweet our prayer. I believe it would shame us tonight if we saw the real record. Help me tonight. And I guarantee you, I've said this of David, when David got in trouble, when he was supposed to be on the battlefield, I guarantee you that Gehazi, even though he was surrounded with the right words and the right language, Brother Steve, Elisha was a man of God. He asked for a double portion when Elijah went back to heaven. God gave it to him. And if you look at the miracles, he did twice as many as Elijah did. He's a man of God. But hanging around a man of God won't even deliver you. We need to hang around the God of the man. Amen. And beloved, the word of God said here, is all well, and he said, all is well. I'm going to tell you something right now. When we got our hearts and minds fixed on the things of this world, all is not well. When we get all bent out of shape and tore up over the things of this world, all is not well. You say, preacher, you used the word we. That's exactly right. Amen. The word of God said here, he said all is well. He said all was not well, so that's a lie. He said my master has sent me, so that's a lie. I wonder how many people are going to stand before God one day after a while, having told people down here that the master sent them. Brother Larry, that's serious, ain't it? And the master didn't send them. He's lying. Elisha knows nothing about, I'm talking about as far as directing him to do it. Elisha has nothing to do with this. All is well. He said, my master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim, two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. I want to just say something. Turn back with me over, or look back over on my Bible, just across the page. Look at verse 5. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. Now, I don't know this tonight. I don't know if Gehazi knew what he had on him. But what he asked for was a drop in the bucket compared to what Naaman had in that chariot. You say, preacher, what's the point of bringing that out? All that gold wouldn't have been worth it. The Word of God said it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Is that right? And so tonight, stand in awe. Naaman is standing in awe. Naaman's servants, you remember how they encouraged him in verse number 12. They're standing in awe. But here's a man by the name of Gehazi. His name means the valley of vision. Instead of having his eyes on the Lord, instead of having his eyes on eternal things, he's got his eyes on temporal things. I love the song. I love it. I love the song that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. There's only one way the things of earth will grow strangely dim, and that's looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Gehazi had forgotten that everything down here is going to perish. The things of God are what's important and what's eternal. The Bible said here, and Naaman said, be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of raiment and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. When he came to the tower, he took them from their hand. Can I ask you a question tonight? If you're doing what's right, do you have to hide it? You don't, do you? If he was doing what was right, he could have walked, Brother Steve, right into the presence of Elisha carrying every bit of it. Did Achan know that what he did was wrong when he buried that garment in that Babylonian? He had to. Why would he bury it, Brother Steve? Why would he hide it? And I believe Gehazi knew it was wrong. He knew that if it was the right thing to do, the man of God would have done it, would have taken the gift of Naaman. And so the Word of God said, he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go. They departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. Here's another lie. One after another, after another. Honestly, tonight, the lies are not the real problem. The heart's the real problem. His heart was set on the stuff instead of the Savior. A couple years ago, see, this is 2020, so it would have been 3 years ago, 2017 in January, our home was broken into. They didn't steal some of my wife's jewelry. They stole it all. Everything I had given her, everything her mother had given her, everything her grandmother had given her. Bob and Charity were living with us at the time, and they stole cameras, they stole guns, they stole jewelry. I can't tell you the feeling, the violation when Miss Eve called me, the door had been kicked in and we'd been robbed. But I'm going to tell you something. Brother John will tell you, I talked to him about it in a personal way. It made me sick. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Let me give it to you like this. I'm still human. And it still hurt. Brother Larry, it wouldn't have done for me to come in while somebody was loading it up. But God had to help me to overcome. And to be able to say, thank God my wife wasn't home. And it didn't take me too awful long to be able to think about things like this. What I have, Brother Gary, that they couldn't steal. What did the Word of God say? Lay your treasure up in heaven where moths can't corrupt it, where the rust can't corrupt it, and where the thieves can't break through. Jesus, I believe, said beware, didn't he, of covetousness. I don't think somebody ought to steal. Say amen. somebody knock on the door and ask me, I'd give them anything out of God if they needed it. Hearing the word of God is a man. Instead of standing in awe, he sinned. Elisha said in verse 26, and he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee? And when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, is it a time to receive money, to receive garments, oliveyards, vineyards, sheep, oxen, men servants, maid servants? I wonder what's going on right there in Gehazi's heart, don't you? How many's ever been caught by the Holy Spirit? How many knows what I'm talking about? Someone said of Miss Eve, it wasn't too long ago, they said, I noticed that all Miss Eve had to do was look at them youngins. Well, I tell you what, he's got his eye on us tonight. The word of God said, the leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from the presence a leper as white as snow. When preaching about Achan, I thought of this down through the years. I wonder, Brother Steve, how many of the children said, Daddy, Joshua told us not to take the spoils. Daddy, why did you do that? Do you all understand that there in that valley, when they took Achan out there and stoned him to death, that his wife and his children were right there with him? Do you know that? Here, it's not just Gehazi that's leaving the scene with leprosy. His children. And the word of God used he said, preacher, you believe it means forever? If that's what it says, I believe that's what it means. You say, preacher, you believe that when the Lord, when Nathan told David, the sword will never leave your house? I believe that's exactly right. Read the rest of David's life. It's there. What the Lord wants us to say tonight, or see tonight in the text, we looked, first of all, We started out Sunday morning with a leprous man. Then we saw the Lord's man. Then we saw that lasting message. It was a message concerning his will. Naaman's will had to be broken. His washing and his worship. Now we end up tonight right where we started. With a leprous man. Naaman's clean. The story starts out, Naaman's got leprosy, Naaman's dirty, and now Naaman's clean. The story starts out, Gehazi's, he's clean, he doesn't have leprosy, and now he has leprosy. One more thing I'll bring out tonight, and I'm done. Everyone needs to know this tonight. There are sins that happen, especially when we're little. I think the sin nature is evident. I have a video on my phone of Amelia. She's just 16 months old. And Elizabeth, or Boo, you'll hear me call her, sent me the video. And Amelia's up in the middle of the dining room table. And her mother says, are you supposed to be up on the table? She said, now, Amelia, are you supposed to be up on the table? What are you saying? It's in our nature to lie. And right now, I believe a lot of the things that Amelia's doing is because it's in her nature. I'm going to blame it on her daddy. Her mama didn't have nothing to do with it. But there'll come a day, Brother Steve, when Amelia will know it's wrong. And she will choose. You say, how do you know that? It came in my life. Did it come in your life? You knew it was wrong. There's a time when we sin because it's in our nature. There's a time when we sin because we choose to sin. And I believe the Lord wants us to leave here tonight with that same verse, only a little bit different emphasis. Stand in awe and sin not. If you had to ask Gehazi, what was it all about up here? Let me go back. It's two talents of silver and two bags and two changes of garments. Gehazi, was it worth it? Somebody, how many knows the answer to that tonight? He'd look at you and shake his head, say if it was 100 times that, it wouldn't have been worth it. One of the things the devil specializes in is making sin look like it's worth it. I mean, you've never seen an ugly woman advertising beer or the beach. Say amen. You've never seen an ugly woman advertising or even an ugly man. We're so politically correct now that The Price is Right has to have a man on it as well as a woman. Am I right or am I wrong? You say, how do you know that? I just ran across it the other day. I don't know where I was at. And it was on. I looked up there and I said, what's he doing? They used to have models on there. What's he doing? How many's glad you come tonight? How many believes that every born-again believer needs a warning? I didn't say some, every one of us. If you've been married 50 years or 5 years, there's no guarantee you'll make it. We need God's grace. Been preaching 5 years or 50 years, it don't matter, does it, Brother Larry? There's no guarantee we'll make it. We need God's grace. Thank you for coming tonight.